This is the Player One podcast with Josh and Sam, where life is one big game, and we are Player One. So we were just talking about, because we're at the office filming this episode, and we were just talking about leaving the last piece. You know what I mean? Like if you're at a party or wherever, and you're all sharing and eating something, and no one wants to touch that last piece. Like there's a pizza in the office right now, and I don't care. I'll take the last piece. I'll take the last piece while it's in your hand, or and you're saying, better, "Do you want it?"
Yeah. If someone grabs it and they look around, hey, does anyone want the last? I'll be like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, thanks. I do. Yeah.
Cheers for that.
I'll just before they put it in their mouth as well. I'm like, yeah, you asked, dog. It's mine now. but yeah, anyway. Don't be shy around food. You
can't be shy around anything.
Yeah. Well, that well, for that matter,
if you think
yeah,
about it, being shy stops you from doing how many things, and it's such a ridiculous concept.
Yo, the best one is dancing.
Yeah.
You're too shy to dance, even though you know it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
And when have you ever danced and it wasn't fun? Unless you were forced at Deb or something.
Or even better, that's why whenever I see those opportunities to like jump in and give something a crack, I like force myself to do it. Like I was at the, I drove past and there was, this is on Johnson Street in Brunswick. And as I drove past this festival, this Latin festival, I see the stage, I see a bunch of people dancing to like Latin music, and I like Latin music. I'm like, you know what, I'm gonna jump out and jump on stage, and I'm gonna just
oh
start,
I see yeah,
I'm
like, you I'm crept up behind
yeah I'm gonna yeah, start yeah. dancing. So pretty much I just jumped over the little, I have some pathetic little barrier. It's not that difficult to do because no one's ever gonna even stop you. And I walk up the stairs, the lady asked me for some ID, and I just said like, I said like Josh has it, right? I just gave him some random name.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, no dramas. I walked up behind the whole, these three Latin guys are performing a song. I just start dancing. They all look over at me. They look at each other. They're like, we don't know this guy, but they just start smiling and laughing. I boogie for like 10, 15 seconds and I just hop off the stage.
Yeah. What's the worst trouble you're going to get in for
and
that
you
anyway?
Feel yeah. Big deal.
Yeah.
And you feel so much better when you've done it. And then later that day, walking down Flinders Street and there's a sick opportunity I missed and I regret it. I'm never gonna let myself do that again. There's this Japanese guy, looks kind of solid but not like muscular or fat, and he's dressed in a sumo outfit and he's straight out of Japan because he's only speaking like, he's pretty much only speaking Japanese, but with like, and when he speaks English, heavy Japanese accent, and he's saying, come give it a shot. He's drawn a sumo ring. Try and get me out of the circle.
What? Why would you not do that?
I know.
What
and
the
then
fuck?
Everyone's like looking at him and not giving him a shot. There's a massive crowd. And he starts talking. He goes, come on, you can let this experience go past you. And he's using all these words. And I'm thinking like, later on when I, because I just stood and watched. And for some reason, I don't normally like, I would just jump in. For some reason, I was just like, nah, I've seen people watching. And I just let that get to me. And I was like, nah, I'm not going to. Dude, I regretted it so
the minute you walked
much.
Away,
yeah. I'm like, what an experience. This guy looked like he knew his shit as well.
Yeah.
Sumo wrestling, he said, for over 20 years. And you can tell when someone's kind of bulky, chubby, but you go, just from the way he was moving around the sumo ring, I go, he knows his way around that little circle.
Yeah.
And he had that, I'm like, that kind of like fat strength to him.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't care about that. I just cared about the people watching. And I'm like, I can't believe I let that get to me after everything like I've done to just make sure that I don't, like I build the muscle of doing it. And I was like, you always regret it. I was at home and I was like, literally he even said the words to the crowd in his broken English. Like, don't worry about, you don't pay him anything. You just jump in there for free. He's like, it's the experience. And I'm like, I just missed out, fuck.
Yeah, and when have you ever regretted doing that experience, you know what I mean? The worst that would happen is you got a little bit embarrassed.
Yeah.
Who cares? That's all good.
And what's that?
You need that anyway, you got to get embarrassed.
What's that? Like someone's going to look at you and laugh? Like, if you don't care about it, it's just part of the time anyway, part of the laugh.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, because you hear it all the time, like, don't worry about what people think of you, this and that. Like, but at the same time, you subconsciously, you do let it get to you. I can say as much as I want. Yeah, I don't care what people think, but then, you know, why didn't you wear those shoes instead of the other ones? You know, like, why didn't you come out tonight? Why didn't you do that little dance?
So it's a thing.
Because you do care about it a little bit, do you know what I mean?
I think there's a, what do you reckon about that fine line between caring about perception in those regards, like making sure you look after yourself and not look shabby and ramshackled, but then also
say ramshackled,
like ramshackled.
What's that?
Is that even a word? I don't know. I think I've been saying that.
I thought you said who's ramshackle.
Is that
what you said?
Yeah, that's the word.
I don't know what that is.
Is ramshackled a word?
I don't know.
Fuck, we'll have to check that out. I've been using that full on.
Anyway, yeah. So
it means like
see what just
messy
shit.
And like sloppy a bit. It's like. So what's the difference between, what's the fine line between making sure you care enough to be presentable and have some respect towards people you know are going to be looking at. You're going to go to a meeting for a job interview and dress, of course not, because you have to respect their perception. And then also to the point where you say, I don't care what everyone thinks. There's a fine line between the balance. Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you're a billionaire,
yeah,
then you've got no business walking around.
And you get the, and if you get that fuck you money, you know, where you're like,
yeah,
nothing, like I don't need to impress anyone.
Yeah, that's a different story. Hey, speaking about fuck you money, I watched the podcast. I watched Joey Diaz podcast and Hot Boxing back to back. Joey Diaz was just talking about his old criminal life, selling coke and that. And then I watched Hot Boxing with that mafia dude from the fucking what family was it?
Fuck, I forgot the name.
Oh damn, I can't even remember. Oh man, I'm embarrassed about that. You I can't know, even I remember the well name. There's Gambinos, and then there's a starts with a C. Anyway, if you can get the name
you're
up.
You're supposed to be Italian, mate.
Yeah, well, mate, we're different mafia down there. But I was thinking about, like, real money. Do you know what I mean? Like, for example, any kind of job that you're going to get around here, like a basic sort of job, even if you're earning 2K a week, 2, 3K a week, to most people, they're like, yeah, that's pretty good money. That's fucking nothing compared to real money. If you're talking about slinging coke, working mafias where you've got hands in unions and 350 gas stations and then you've got a production company making movies in LA and then on the East Coast you've got business. $10 million a week. Yeah, that's real money. Do you know what I mean?
That's when it's like, when you hear about, for example, like Snoop Dogg was mentioning on another podcast separately to Mike Tyson podcast in terms of the cannabis industry and how America has all these regulations, even though that it's like federally allowed and whatnot in different states, the financial aspect is holding back a lot of companies. It's like, whereas Canada, it's not free for all, but it's the same kind of thing, but you can do whatever you want with your money. So he's like, cause you know, he's coming out with his own strain as well. And he was like low key saying, look, if you're doing it in America, you can do it. And then you can just, there's people in Canada that have warehouses and buildings just stacked with cash. Yeah. Like that's the kind of money that these guys have. Like they're stacked with cash. And you look at like who's that guy everyone fucking from Glenroy has on their background on their phone? The
Mock Bell.
No. The who? The damn Colombian?
Oh, Pablo.
Yeah. Escobar. And they say how much money he lost just through like actual loss and deterioration of cash.
Yeah.
Rats eating the money going missing. Like millions of dollars a week he would lose.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. That's the difference in terms of that kind of money.
That's what I'm saying. The whole underworld. Because you've got to think that the life isn't just a corporate world. You've got a whole underworld that's always been operating since fucking way back.
And to this
and
day.
And it needs to. To this day.
To this day.
To this day, it's still going. Yeah. It's never going to stop. Well, I did hear that. I can't remember his name. Fucking, I'm pissed about that. But he was on Hot Boxing podcast with Mike Tyson.
What's Frances.
No, it was Michael something.
Michael Franceschi.
Michael Franceschi, but he was from the Cambolo. I don't know. He was from one of the, because there's five families that
Colombo
run.
Colombo crime.
Oh, family. Colombo. Fuck. Colombo. There was the one. He was one of the five families rolling in the east side.
Like Palombo. Palomba.
Palomba. He wishes, bro. He wishes.
Go on.
But anyway. Palombo. Oh shit! Now I forgot what I was saying about that.
You were saying old money, how it's been around forever.
Yeah. This has always been happening. But he was saying it's been dying out because the FBI did a massive raid through it. And
but then you think, look, when you talk about that, like how you mentioned, and then you say they've got unions and whatnot, when money and crime gets mixed into politics, you're there on another level.
Dude, that's 100%. Another level. Did you hear when he was, I don't know if you got that part through, but he was saying because he owned the Builders Union and the Security Union, the Builders Union owned all the real estate in America. They were like the governing body of real estate in America. I don't know if it was America or just New York.
Yeah. And anyway, it's the same even.
But the point was that any sort of real estate you wanted, you want to build, you want to extend, you want to buy or lease, you had to go through them.
Yeah.
And do you know who was going through them? Motherfucking Trump. Yeah. Trump was going through them. Yeah. Because he had to. Everyone had to.
Exactly. See, so that's when you see that. And that's the type of money that they're talking
and then,
about.
But it's not so much the money, but it's the connections. The power. You get a good connection with the right family and they'll put you into power. Yeah, I'll put you into power, but I want a little bit of this
and then
as well.
Just the level of organization that these guys have in their crime puts, especially with the Italians, Russians, and in pretty much any crime or mobster family at a super high level, it puts like petty crime and gangsters to absolute shame.
Yeah.
Dude, when he's talking about how his dad's in jail, his dad's in prison and talking to him, and his dad goes, okay, you want to do this? Okay, I'll set you up like with a meeting and then get sworn into the family. Like there's a full process that these guys have. As opposed to just fucking running around with a Gucci bag and doing different funny things.
Doing some shitty little initiation. No,
it's a big difference.
huge difference. Man, I got so much respect for it. I know it's a pretty fucked up thing, but
definitely have respect for it. It's not something where, of course, I look at and I say that they do illegal things, but it's just like how I can respect art in any form and the skill it takes to do anything. Doesn't mean I respect the morals or I agree with anything, but you can definitely understand and say, shit, you have to appreciate what goes into anything.
Yeah, 100%.
Into running anything, yeah.
Thinking about morals is that most guys that are, say, criminals, even a lot of serial killers as well, I looked into this, Richard Kuklinski, they call him the Iceman back in the days.
Yeah. I remember you telling me about that at Worlds. Worlds we went to, like, it was
my first
3 years
book
ago,
I read outside of school. And he used to work for the Gambinos. And he would take hits on everyone. He was a notorious contract killer for the mafia. But the thing was that even guys like this, let alone mafia, but this specific contract killer had crazy amount of morals. Yeah. Wouldn't touch women, wouldn't touch children. Same as the
Colombo family.
Yeah. They wouldn't deal with drugs and they wouldn't touch another man's wife or children. Do you know what I mean? You chop another man's head off for looking at you the wrong way, but you won't touch his wife or his kids. You know what I mean? There's real strict morals.
Yeah, and it's true. Look, and then you see that's why so many criminal families and whatnot, well, at least how they're depicted in movies and whatnot, there's always like a religious side. They go to church and they pray for their sins and they do this and that, but then they go run amok. Because I feel like in terms of human nature, you need some sort of closure and you feel like, okay, at least I might be a bad guy, I might be doing this and that, but I don't do this and that and I have my boundaries. This is business, this is respect. Like, yeah.
Yeah, man, it's so interesting. There's never been a topic that I've been more interested about because it goes on and on. You know, different families. I don't know. It's just insane to me, and it's just insane to see.
And I went down this massive rabbit hole like ages ago, a few months ago, of just researching up crime and like I'm watching like a bunch of like mobster movies on Netflix and whatnot. And I went down this Wikipedia rabbit hole where I was just searching, you know, have you ever done, you know, people go through the YouTube rabbit hole, but you know when you go on Wikipedia and they have the little
The hyperlink.
And then I'll open that up in a new tab, but at the end of the night I have like 20 tabs, full doing fucking FBI level research on all these guys and whatnot. And I'm like, Italians, I can't say they do it best or not, but they have the deepest roots.
Yeah.
Like going back.
Facts.
Yeah. And you look through every little detail and you go, shit, they had this planned out, like bring organization to everything. Yeah.
Still going. Did you see how Michael, we were saying that they wanted to do a book signing because he does a lot of speaking in that now. Like they wanted him to do it. He was from the Colombo family.
Mm.
They wanted him to go do a book signing in Italy. And he's like, no fucking chance. He's like, we were, and coming from a guy that's been in the, he's been a made man since he was 22.
Yeah.
He's been a made man for over 30 years. In America, but he's like, no fucking way am I going to Italy.
It's different when
that's scary, bro. Coming from a guy that's seen it all, fuck, what are they doing in there? You know what I mean?
Overseas, actually, I can't say this for sure because none of us knows how deep or what actually goes on in every country, but all I know is that overseas, comparing surface level Australia, surface level West versus surface level like Uganda or parts of South America or parts of Europe is a big difference. There's like a different standard to what they will do and don't do and what they give a shit about, what they don't give a shit about. Yeah.
Bro, tell your anecdote.
Hmm?
Tell your anecdote.
With
when you went over to Africa.
To Uganda. So I'll just give one example. Like when these guys were getting killed and whatnot. Yeah, so someone had stolen some sort of possession of another man. And as we're driving down, I see this guy, like I first hear like a lot of screaming and yelling and he's like crying and pleading and I can't understand him, but I'm like, obviously this dude's in trouble. And they subdue him, like a mob of like at least 20 guys are like subduing this guy. They put tires around him and then he's just standing up in the middle of the tires and he's even stopped trying to like scurry around. He's just pleading now. And then they just pour petrol over him and then just light him on fire. Bang. This is on the road.
Just on the side of the road?
Yeah, on the side of the road. Like it was driving from the village to city. And they pull over the car, the van, and they go and talk to find out what's happening. And then they come back in the car like, oh, it's all good, what happened? Oh, he stole this and that from this guy. So they're going to kill him like this. Bang.
And that's just how it is.
Yeah, and then
just
there's other stories that I was telling you and the guys at Worlds, but they like, just a different care, a different, it's a different standard surface level. Yeah. It is. It's just how it is.
They call it street justice. Yeah. It happens a lot in Asia as well. It's just like, that's it. Because that's one of the things about living in Australia and being so secluded from the rest of the world is that we have different standards to a lot of this sort of shit. You know what I mean? Massively. That sort of stuff would never happen here. And if that happened here,
that'd be news everywhere.
But you know, I think the biggest thing, and I see this all the time, the reason that I think that we think that America is so patriotic, because obviously they're probably the extreme. I don't obviously know, but they look like they're the most extreme patriotic country in the world.
Mm.
But it only looks that extreme because no one gives a fuck in Australia. No one here is a nationalist. No one cares really much about being Australian. We're all immigrants here.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
And you like, it's like, of course there are little pockets of like super nationalists and whatnot, but overall not on the level of America. And I have this is the way I see it. I go, because I see people that are very nationalistic in other cultures as well. Not to say it's a bad thing to love your country and be nationalistic, but a lot in the Balkans, let's say, also to do with like Turkey, Greece, any country that's experienced a lot of hardship and internal turmoil and conflict, they're left in the, like after everything's said and done, with like a lot of passion for their country.
Yeah.
So you look at like the Yugoslavian breakup, which was like, obviously a lot of things happened that I'm not an expert in, but a lot of crimes were committed. Some people say like crimes against humanity and whatnot. And there was a lot of infighting, Serbia, Bosnia. Not to spark up any debates or anything, but there was a lot. So when all this is said and done and there's conflict that's been not resolved, but passed over, each country usually has like a deep hatred to another neighboring country and a deep love for their country.
Yeah.
Because those parents experienced and fought in that situation, in that war, they lived it and they pass it on to their kids. Oh, this and that, they'll tell them. And then it'll happen. Over time, it gets less and less and less and less. But early generations, which is what we're still in now, I think that affects it massively.
100%. Someone was talking about that exact same thing. I think it was Andrew Schultz on the Joey Diaz podcast. He was talking about how your grandparents or even great-grandparents have gone through some serious hardship, you know, like when World War was a real thing, you know, I mean, where they're living through
it. And it wasn't that far away. It wasn't that long.
That's the thing. Yeah. Not for us. It wasn't that long. Do you know what I mean? So like our grandparents were probably around during that time.
For sure.
And they experienced it. They went through it all. Do you know what I mean? And it was part of their life. It was hard. They had to work for things. When war was done, business had to be booming. You had to come and make a life for yourself. So a lot of people came here. That's why most of us are here.
Yeah.
They come here to make a life. So they really go from the roots up. They build what they have. Dude, and they pass it on to their kids. So it was our parents. And then our parents got to see them build that. Do you know what I mean? Like they were around. They're like, damn, like my parents had to do this to get it. So I appreciate it. And then we come through. And I didn't get to see my grandparents go through the hard times that they did.
So it's different.
But I have a bit of respect because, you know, I still see him now.
Close enough to that. Yeah. That we can understand. Because when you... Yeah, you can still feel it. It's like there's like a tremor. It's like dropping a rock in a lake and the ripples from... Like we're like the third ripple. So we can still see and feel the effects. But
not to the extent.
When I look at like, for example, when you look at your little brother, I look at my little brother, of course they're on a different level. Exactly. Because they're living in a world where they've grown up and there's laptops, there's iPads. There's not this type of struggle that they've had to see or witness of many other different things. Or even not having lived it, but... heard it or understood it was a thing it'll be taught in school now as like way way back in the day the kids are like, oh, one time there was people fighting all over the place, but shit was crazy, bro.
Yeah, I know, and that's so unfortunate, isn't it? It would be so much better if that we did really understand and appreciate, but now it's everything's handed, and that's why we are how we are today. But to bring this back full circle, why I brought up the man, I can't even think of his name, man. He's the Colombo family. What I'm talking about there is that for one, real money, do you know what I mean? Like real money is a thing. There's not this little, I think that people got to set high standards for themselves.
Old money, new money, and then there's also people with like a whole bunch of money.
Yeah, I'm just saying like get your standards, you know what I mean? Like, correct. Don't, for one, you should never be flaunting anything anyway, regardless, even if you had it or not, because there's always a bigger fish, you know? But the thing I was really interested about is the whole idea of, to bring it full circle, about player one. These characters that come through and they just flip the game on its head in any sort of industry. For example, the mob families. They're going to be notorious forever because they did something that no one else would ever have the balls to do. And they did some bad shit, yes, but they did a lot of good shit. And now they're going to be remembered forever. Do you know what I mean? Like a real player, one that just sets their own standards. It's their own game. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And they really come through and make a difference.
Exactly. And you can see how they've had the same impact and with the same kind of values. It's like applying that mindset to anything. Could be good or bad or to a criminal enterprise or whatever it is. You can definitely see how it would, like, you can apply the same thoughts, the same kind of like philosophy to them.
They use a lot of military terms as well. Like they full run it like it's a, you know how they get recruited? When you first made, you become a made man. So you take the oath and you swear into the family. You start off as a sergeant, they call them.
Yeah.
You start off as a sergeant and you do, it's not about doing your time or anything. It's just until they deem you worthy.
Yeah.
If they deem you worthy ever.
And you become a captain.
And then you become a captain. But they've got Italian names for it. But yeah, you become a captain and then you go up to an underboss and then a boss when you're the fucking...
A boss.
The John Gotti of the family.
Honestly, there's something that is
the
like...
boss,
I feel like it's
mediocre that, now.
Yeah, but it's an attractive idea and to anyone that's exposed or flirted with it. Like, just the idea of, like, a boss of a situation. And even... Because when you say it and you hear it, you know that that's a real boss. Not Molly Don't Worry down the street. There's, like, boss and then sergeant, underlings... And then they go even deeper to like kids running around and watch out for that cord. Kids running around and doing what they got to do. It's crazy, man.
It's
crime
exciting.
Crime is fascinating, dude.
Crime is
fascinating.
It is.
And you know, another crazy thing they say, poverty is the mother of crime. It's kind of true because when someone has nowhere left to go and they feel like they're, especially if you don't have the right tools mentally or physically to go out there and do what you have to do and you're struggling, what's the next easiest thing? Obviously going past like your moral guidelines and whatnot, people turn to crime.
Well, I will say this, I mean, yeah, for sure crime's bad, we know that, but look at Joey Diaz, look at the way he is now because of the life of crime that he came from. It teaches you and instills in you this crazy amount of self-confidence, you know, like to go and get shit done for yourself. I'm not waiting on someone else to do it for me. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you want it, you go fucking do it now. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Get it done.
And they're the guys that come in through, they're the guys that are really the entrepreneurs, you know what I mean? That are out there hustling every day just because they have to. If they don't, they're going to die. They're not
and
living
that guy,
anymore.
Was he a captain in the
Columbia? Yeah, he finished as a captain.
I only got far enough into the podcast where I heard him saying, when I jumped into this, he goes, and I got, sworn in and whatnot, he's like, I had a real business mindset. He's like, I had a real entrepreneurial mindset, and I had he used a certain term for it, but he was saying that his mindset for business applied because he was in medical school. He's like,
he had a graduate.
Mindset for business made him an asset to the family. Like, it's not something, like I said, you have to appreciate it. You gotta appreciate it. Like, there's work that goes into these things.
How can you not appreciate it? Man, he was saying this one part where he got approached by a guy, because once you're in the public eye like that, everyone knows who you are. You know, you're a living gangster. You walk around like a real gangster. He got approached by this guy that had a few gas station chains. He had about 12. Mm. And he came around to him and he's saying, you know, I want to work with you. You know, I know who you are. I've seen a little bit of money to get invested in, but you know, you can take a piece. And he gave him, he's like, yeah, maybe, maybe. And then his butcher ended up saying yes to him and bringing him in. A week later, the guy rocks up with $320K in a duffel bag.
Yeah.
He's like, this is this week's profit from the 12 gas stations. I don't know how the fuck a gas station makes that much money, profit, but he does. And then he goes, all right, cool. You know, I might play around with this. Because this is real money, do you know what I mean? $320K to him is like, yeah, I guess I'll try it. You know, whatever, it's not that much. And he goes, yeah, cool. Inside of a year, I'm pretty sure it was inside of a year. Don't quote me on that. But he said that... He 10x'd it. So instead of pulling in 320K a week, he was pulling in 10 mil. And instead of 12 gas stations, he had over 350.
Wow. And I know for a fact from having close friends that have like multiple gas stations, have failed with gas stations, have made some really, really well in all a really legal fashion. There's so much involved. So for you to be running 350 gas stations... You are not taking the piss. This is a full-time job for you. This is work. This is something that you put time and effort into, strategy, thought, it's a business. It's a business. And then, of course, they have their other aspects to it, cleaning and whatnot they got to do. But
this is the thing I like about him most. And there's certain guys that have it and there's certain guys that don't. Jimmy Laddie, I really want to get him on soon. We'll get him on soon, for sure. Because he's one of those guys, in another lifetime, maybe even this lifetime, he can do what the fuck he wants. He's a real player. But I feel like he could have been a fucking mafia boss. Dude, for real.
It can happen.
We'll get this guy on and you'll see what I'm talking about. But basically the thing is that some guys, they just have it. They come around every once in a while and you're like, this fucking guy, man, he's just different. He walks, he thinks.
Yeah, you they just can think see differently, it when they're moving around. And like, you can just
feel it. Like, fuck, this guy's not like me.
You can see when like what you said about Joey Diaz and whatnot, when you go through those kind of things in terms of like, not saying for Jimmy, but for Joey, crime and whatnot, you can see them, they move different. Because also there are other little things that won't get to them as much. Like someone trying to front up on you and trying to act tough and be hard and whatnot. It's not gonna phase someone that's like gotten bashed. But people that haven't gotten bashed before compared to people that have gotten bashed before, very different type of person.
Depending on how you react and how
you take it. And I'm not talking fighting. Like if you've gotten bashed, jumped, and then you go, okay, there's a difference. Or if you've maybe jumped someone yourself and bashed someone. Or like this, when you go through different scenarios that these guys must have to go through, you're not scared. And if you're not scared of people, it's very hard for you to be scared of other things in general. Like ideas, thoughts, opportunities. It's like, fuck it, what's the worst that can happen? This has happened to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hey, that's another thing as well. Because I mean, everyone's coming from what's happened to them in the past. You are a product of your past. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So the other thing is that if you haven't gone through any sort of hardship at all, man, I feel for you because your life sucks.
For example, like that's another thing, like how we're relating it to the game is life kind of concept in terms of spending your credits on circumstance, because circumstance and situation and environment and that is a massive asset. Like Gary V talks about it heaps. He goes, you're not going to see many. Oh no, not Gary V. He does talk about it as well. But there was a boxer. I've got to find the name. We'll find the link and put it in the description. But he was saying, you're not going to find any world champion boxers coming out of Beverly Hills. You're not going to find any world champion boxers coming out of anywhere where they've grown up rich and already have it. Now, if you have people like that have a dad as a boxer and they have that advantage and they're rich, different story. But the people that go from, like, that become a world champion are typically from a neighborhood or an environment where they have to fight and they don't have it all. And they're like, if I want it all, I've either got to just accept my position in life and go through mediocre, basic job, basic life, or I have to dig deep and work hard. There's a different work ethic from people who need to succeed. They see it as they need. And people that really want to succeed. Big difference. Because people like Deontay Wilder got a daughter who has this sort of illness. She had some illness. And then you got Mike Tyson fighting out of poverty and crime and hardship and upbringing. Yeah. And you got every type of fighter, pretty much everyone that's a world champion in the UFC right now. If you go through every single fighter in the UFC's backstory, I guarantee you they're not growing up rich and everything there for them. And it's not a bad thing if you do. There's other things out there. Like, if you grow up rich and whatnot, go tackle something else. You don't need to be a world champion fighter. You can study really hard and make a massive impact in a different way. Use your resources in a different way. But when it comes to like those type of things, you see these people coming from
100%. The perfect example is Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Who come through that. And then you remember when he was talking about his son? How his son wanted to get into boxing? He was roasting him on the Joe Rogan podcast. His own son. He's like, shut up, bitch. You went to private school. You're not going to be a world champion boxer.
And it's true, dude.
That's exactly right.
It's like, it's so damn true.
Man, in other news, what I was thinking about, what I seen the other day, bro, Josh Brolin, the actor that played Thanos. He is a fucking G. If I get the chance to meet that guy, I'll be so happy.
He seems like a funny guy.
He's so funny, but man, even lately, you've been talking about this as well. I've just got so much more respect for my elders. I feel like at some point in our lives, man, don't even get me started on my siblings and that, my younger ones, but they lost the respect for it. But I don't want to lose that, man, because they've... some elders, let me be serious about that. Yeah. Some, not all, but some. But some of them have been... Bro, they've been around fucking three or four times longer than we have. They've experienced it all, do you know what I mean?
Can you imagine you listening, whoever you are, whatever age you are, you could be 15, you could be 25, and I'm sure you would have experienced a lot this year. You'd be like, wow, this year I've learned so much. This has happened, this hardship, this betrayal, this experience, this and that. Can you imagine someone at 60, at 50, at 70, 80? They've done and been through it and they've seen it and they've like, they have experience. That's why respect for elders is with, it's like deeply rooted within most cultures, most societies, because it's there for a reason. They know that they need to respect these people because these people have the knowledge. They have the information, they have the advice. And you have to just respect their life experience of what this person's been through. Any older person that you're talking to. But with kids, like, and I'm not any angel, and like neither are yourselves, but we're just saying we try our best to try and have that respect, and it's going to be generation to generation, it's going to be less and less and less. I don't know what it is, I can't really explain it, I might have to think on it, but from my perspective, it's just gotten and is getting less and less and less. It's just less and less and less respect for elders.
Yeah, you know, well, the other thing is as well that we're all living in a Western world. Do you know what I mean?
Like, exactly.
The more you look
into
it,
in the West, I've seen.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. The more we look into it, all we know is what's around us. We're in a bubble, you know, especially in Australia, we're in a bubble. But in the Western world, I mean, there's a Western world and there's the Eastern world. They're completely two different worlds. Do you know what I mean? And we have everything given to us, and then the Eastern world, everyone's still going. It's like almost that we're a little bit in the future, and they're maybe 50 years behind in a good way, though, not in a bad way. Before technology hit them, before all this bullshit, you
know, but we look at them as backwards. Like, we look at some things as backwards.
Yeah, we look at them as third, you know, like underprivileged. They've got it way better than us. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Then of course it's like, it's the when the shoe's on the other foot and you go, okay, someone who's 55 years old, 65, 75, and they're still a sour old person and they're still being mean. It's like, dude, you've had so long to figure out your shit. You've had so long to learn from mistakes. You know those times where you've like blown up at someone for no reason and you go, fuck, that was so stupid. Like, there was no point to doing that. If someone's 65 and still doing it, it's like, how many times have you done that? You should have learned from that. Yeah. You should have learned by now and been like, there's more to life than this. Most of the older people I know in my own life, I'm glad to say I've seen, like, the older they get, the more calm they get, the less they care about certain things, relaxed, because I think they realize more and more what's important.
Yeah.
And then you can't be making the same mistakes. But then they also say you can't teach an old dog new tricks. It's one of those old sayings as well. So if someone gets set in their ways, you're set in your ways, you can change. But if you're set in there like concrete, you're not changing.
But they're the guys that aren't self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
Self-awareness will change you in the best way possible. Some guys and some people, they can't take constructive criticism and they just don't know. They haven't even thought about thinking, oh, wait, should I do this? Is this wrong? Am I doing something bad? Some people just think that, you know, I am the way that I am and I can't change. I've always done it. You can't look at Dr. Joe Dispenza and all of his work, how he talks about creating and breaking and creating new, breaking old habits and creating new habits on top of them.
I've been thinking rewiring about heaps with waking up, because I've been having trouble with waking up early, which I haven't been normally having. But then I remembered, because you mentioned something and I was like, I watched the video. Okay, this is very, very... But I'll get to it in a sec if you remember
what
you
called having a girlfriend, bro. You got a girlfriend now, that's why.
No, honestly, I'll be sitting there at home and I'll try to wake up. And then I'm sitting there, I wake up and it's late. I used to wake up on time so early. Like, it's not every day. Everyone knows I still have to wake up early most days for work and whatnot. Yeah. But I'll wake up and I'll look at my phone. I'll look at time, like 5 a.m., 6 a.m. I'm like, I don't have to be up right now. I'm like, let me put this on snooze. But every time I hit snooze, I know that in my brain, I'm conditioning that habit.
Yeah.
I'm conditioning. I'm making it easier for myself to do it the next time.
Yeah.
Whatever process is happening in your brain, because it is an actual process that can be broken down. He talks about, I'm not going to use his terminology and ruin it, but something like certain synapses getting familiar with the same action. Okay. If I, every single time I see my phone and I press it and I go up and I do the next thing and go to and snooze and kick back, it's going to get easier day after day. And like, you have to just, and that's when I stopped. Like, you got to just phone down, get up. Doesn't matter. Who cares? Get up. You need to make it easier for yourself to do that next time by doing it now.
Yeah. He says, what does he say? I don't know if they're neurons or synapses, but he says neurons that fire together, wire together. I mean, each time you do the action, it just gets wired. It gets closer and closer into your brain. More becomes more of who you are. Do you know what I mean? You're that guy that sleeps in. Exactly. Because you keep doing it.
The more you do it,
but
without,
in the adverse, you can do the exact same thing. You can become the person that does choose. Wake up.
It's a choice.
Exactly. Every day it's a choice.
And you can choose to wake up.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, there's a difference between easy and simple, isn't there? It's so simple. It's simple. You know? Just do it.
It's not complicated. It's like when you say,
it's like when you're under mount, talking BAJ right now. Yeah. It's like when you're under mount, it's like, just get out.
Yeah.
Just get out of mount.
What do you want to get out? That's it. Is it easy? That's another problem.
It's not easy.
But it's simple.
Especially you've got Troy on your fucking some on your guts.
Big guy, black belt, heavy, knows how to move and spread his weights. So interesting how if someone knows, like you can get someone that is 150 kilos, knows no jiu-jitsu, sit on top of you in mount. And of course, unless you're like a rooster weight or whatnot, like you should be able to get that guy off you because he won't know anything about body positioning. Yeah. You move your hips, he'll post somewhere, you'll push, frame on his hip, get your knee back in, and you'll do what you got to do. Yeah. But you get like a 70 kilo guy, knows how to spread his weight, float, hips down, heavy pressure, and you try getting him off you, big difference. That's how jiu-jitsu is so amazing. It's like, it's just a matter of understanding. It's knowledge. It's the more you know, the better you get.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Doesn't matter how athletic you are. Yeah. Doesn't matter how unathletic you are. You know what I mean? Whoever's got the knowledge has the power. That's where one of those things that knowledge is power.
Another gem.
Jiu-jitsu. That's exactly. Yeah, hey, another gem. We're gonna do a segment on this, I reckon. Gems to live by.
Yeah.
Not right now because I don't have much. I'm going to have to write them down next week.
Every episode, whatever ones we think up, like those phrases, like... slowly smooth, fast. All those other ones, those are all
those
gems.
Those timeless gems. We'll highlight them for you.
Because you think about it, they are gems. They've been around for ages, and they're the same quotes are in every society in different languages.
That's true as well. Yeah.
How can that be? That must be because there's some truth to them. It's a gem. Yeah.
Man, how beautiful is it to think that there's so much hidden knowledge and so much hidden power in. Trapped in another language that we don't understand. Yeah. Just a format we don't understand.
Why there's a quote by, I think, Charlemagne. And he says, in French, he says, to have another language is to have another soul.
Ooh.
Because you speak in that language and you are you're not the same person. Of course, you are the same, but you think slightly differently and you have to appreciate things slightly differently. Based on the language.
Like there's more sincerity, I feel, to other languages than English. Especially Australian English. Yeah. We're just so like... laissez-faire. Yeah. But you know, like for example, this isn't obviously not like Islam alaikum, is that Arabic or is that just Muslim
that's,
talk?
That's Arabic.
Would you count it's Arabic though, the language.
Yeah.
So when you say Islam alaikum,
it says peace be upon you.
Yeah, and that's just like saying hello, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like saying it's just a greeting. It's the most commonly used greeting.
And they're saying peace be upon you. I'm saying g'day. Yeah. What the fuck is that? Do you know what I mean?
And then the response is and peace be unto you. Like there's beauty in languages.
Yeah.
The words. Man, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Do you know how to say I miss you in French?
It translates to, because everyone uses it, it translates to
you are missing
a part
from
of
me.
You is missing from me.
Yeah.
How do you say it? Je me manque. Tu me manques? Yeah, tu me manques, I think. Something like that. Yeah. I've probably got it completely wrong, but yeah.
It's beautiful, man. I love language. I wish I knew more of it.
That's a goal.
Yeah, look, anyway, I think that's about an hour.
Yeah, that's it. It's good. Yeah. Good chat.
There's a heap that we're going to go in over next week as well. I think next week, we probably won't have a guest. We'll probably do one more without the guest. Mm-hmm. I want to touch on a bit of a subject that I've been thinking about lately. So we're going to change the tempo next week. But it's going to be a big one in terms of why we're doing this and a lot of shit that you can pick up and a lot of shit that's going to be happening throughout my life in particular, but probably even SEMD as well for the next few weeks. It's going to be because of what we're going to talk about next week. So it's going to be a big one.
Tune in.
So yeah, make sure you tune into that. So episode one, the Play One podcast. I hope you took a lot out of it. I hope to see you next week.
Salam alaikum. G'day.